Yo, check this out. This is Fresh Get Out the China Man with the 2 Live Crew.
Yo, what's up, y'all? It's me, DMC.
What's up, y'all? This is the boy, Master P.
Yo, check us out. Chuck the Public Enemy.
Yo, what's up? This is DJ Yellow from the world's most dangerous group.
What's up? This is DLC.
This is your boy, C-Murder.
This is Jerry Heller, motherfucker.
This is your boy, DJ Paul KOL 365.
Young Dizzy Bomb.
Vice Womp.
Yo, this is DJ Ready Brand.
What up? This is the real Rick Ross. You listen to me on the Murder Master Music Show.
This is a show that shows no limits, broadcast nothing but the real. Interviews with legendary artists, still got love for the underground feel. Rappers with records, revealing addition, and rappers are coming up, get up with all. We need a platform to fight amazing. This is the show that you need to be on. Hit up UGS for life on the screen and follow with wizard.com. For all of your needs, production and mixing and mastering, grab your shadow to call. Check out the archives and hundreds of shows. Plenty of content and you to do everything free to download this stream. Oh yeah, we deserve the real.
I'm
talking
about what we brought up, it's we represent. All them chillers on the mic and we should love to all your fans.
I'm a man-made guy, crazy knocking all you rappers off. It's underground society, it's UGS for life, dog. Hip-hop AD, representing for them legends. Rapping mumble rappers, so we ain't sitting on the hips. Two pocket beats, dreaming, thank you for the bliss. It's a murder master music show. Free the homie gangsta bro. I see these rappers on these streets, I got my chopper about to blow. Stay up on that raw shit, uncut street shit.
You've been
out
forever, bitch,
we're coming
strong. I see you feeding for the show, let's get the drop, let's get it.
We got a familiar, guest on the show tonight. Matter of fact, you heard his beats on some of our legendary interviews, we did in the past, as well as, numerous songs we've played, on the show over the years. I'm talking about Skinny Man. He's got a beat tape coming out here in March. We're going to showcase some of those beats. He's also got a solo album, Living Tribunal, coming out real soon. We're going to chop it up with him and catch up with him, see how he's been doing. Skinny Man, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing good, brother Perez. How you doing?
Real good, man. Real good. I'm real excited you're making these beats again, man. You did a lot of beats in the past, You kind of took a little bit of a break. Man, what made you want to jump back in it, man, and start cranking these beats out like you've been doing?
Man, just the passion just runs, making the beats just runs through me, man. I can't never quit it. Even when I take a little break, man, it's just, listening to music and, the old 90s, DJ Squeaky, people like that who influenced me to do this, type of music, man, just got me back in. And I said, hey, let me do this, man. And making beats is my number one passion. I like rapping, of course, but producing beats is my number one passion when it really goes down and boils down to it,
Yeah.
So I said, I want to do something. And I think me and you talked about this a while back. I said, we were talking about beat tapes, and I talked about wanting to do one a few years ago. I said, I got to do it, man. I got to do it.
Yeah.
So
yeah, man.
I'm looking at about 20, 30 tracks, man.
20, 30? How many you got right
about
now?
About 20 or 30.
Oh,
right now, I probably got about 17, 18 done right now, so I'm more than halfway done. So March is definitely, looking, really good right now. Probably might have 30 done before that, but I just put kind of March as the deadline. So, right now I'm like 60, 70% done.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Now, I know the beats are more your passion than the rapping, but you're cold with the rapping, man, as well. After this beat tape, you still planning on putting the Living Tribunal album out or this year?
Oh,
or
yeah, most definitely. I hope I could get it done by the end of this year, but, there's so many – I want this album to be more, just – even though the beats is my passion, like I just previously said, I want the album to be special. And I want to have, my people on there as well. It's not only just the album that I'm doing for me, But I want a lot of my people from UGS. I want some of my old people from the Sip of Soda Click that I used to rap with back in the day. I want some of them on there. I want it to be a special album. I mean, it's been long awaited, and I want it to be a special album, man, you know, once I finally drop it. And, you know, and it's one of the albums I started, and I took a long break from it. I just need to get back in it. Once I get back in the mode, man, it's going to be like how I'm doing this beat tape. It's just going to be steady grinding.
Yeah, just knocking it out, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The good thing about it is, you know what I'm saying, you know, this beat tape and your overall style is definitely influenced by Memphis, you know what I'm saying, which is one of the most influential cities in hip-hop right now, I believe. When did you get involved in, making beats, you know what I'm saying, and what initially made you want to start doing that?
I kind of played around with it in 2001, but I really got serious in 2003 was when I really started making beats seriously. And there's always been that, you know, dark, hardcore Memphis, you know, sound to it. So really since 2003, so going on 17 years now. And what kind of influenced me is, like I said in the past, you know, some of the artists we've talked to in the past when I used to do the shows with you. You know, like Mr. Ski, he's a big influence in my music. Yeah. You know, the
Low
squeaky
Life
sound. Yeah, Mortal Low Life, shout out to them. Blackout, he's also been one of my favorites. I know you just had him on recent, you know, not too long ago. You know, DJ Zerg, you know, all them guys, man, influenced me to MC Matt's another cold one, too, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's another one of those, you know.
Serious production.
Yeah, MC Matt. People like that, you know, listening to that early, mid-90s sound, man. And that's kind of what I want to do on this album. And you'll hear some of the beats. It's heavily influenced by some of that old Memphis sounds with the chants and stuff. That's kind of what I'm doing with this album.
Yeah. Yeah. And Memphis, you know what I'm saying, it's one of those spots, too, where, you know, it, like I said, it influenced a whole generation of people, but it also created like a whole genre of all its own. I mean, you got acid rap,
oh, yeah.
You got horrorcore, you got all these different, you know what I'm saying, dark styles. Devil Shit is one of those styles, man. A lot of people gravitate towards that, man. A lot of people.
Yeah.
Who are some of your favorite, you know what I'm saying? I know you mentioned Ski and Squeaky and stuff, but who are some of your, like, favorite Devil Shit artists?
Oh, no doubt, you know, DJ Paul and, you know, them of course, you know, 3-6 Mafia, that old sound. Man, it's too many of the name for me, personally. If you're talking just strictly Devil Shit, but that whole dark sound and, you know, the player sound, you know, from Skinny Pimp, you know, Gangsta
yeah.
Black has always been one of my favorite ones, you know, when it comes just to that Memphis sound, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
but,
Al Capone.
Al Capone, more easily. Gangsta Pat for sure. I mean,
yeah.
There's so many of them. I can sit here all day and sit here and name people. A Little Terror, you know, motherfuckers like that, you know.
The Mental Ward Click.
Yeah, Mental Ward Click. Oh, man.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, it's just that sound that I've been listening since the early 90s.
Yeah. DJ Sound. I mean, it's just saturated with dope shit. Like, you know, we always talk about the game is oversaturated with fuck shit. Memphis is saturated with dope shit. If you go looking into it, you know, especially those early underground tapes, man, it's some legendary stuff.
Yeah.
Were you living in Memphis at the time when a lot of that stuff was coming out, or were you living up in Minnesota at the time?
When I first started listening to it, I was living in Minnesota, but in the year 2000 to 2001, I did go down to Memphis for a little while. And that's when I really got for that little short time I was down there, it's like it was embedded in me. And I came back, And a little shortly after that, that's when I started playing around with the beats around 2001, 2002. But then, like I said before, 2003 was when I really got serious into it. And learned how, you know, kind of played around, learned how to, you know, use the MPC and all that stuff. And, you know, later on, I started using the Fruity Loops and, you know, different programs to make my beats on. But, yeah, I lived in Memphis for a short time, right around the time when Project Pat, Chicken Heads came out.
Yeah.
Around that time.
Mr.
That album
Don't
was
Play.
Busted. That's when I was down there. Yeah,
yeah,
Mr.
I
Don't Play.
That fucker, man. Yeah, that was a classic album. I love that shit.
Classic.
I remember, I heard LeChat on Tommy Wright's stuff, but she really stood out on that shit right there, man.
Oh, yeah.
You know, kind of took up for where Boo left off. And I never was one that was big into females on the mic. I always kind of looked at them like a bunch of young MAs. You know,
me too.
A little extra studdish around the waist. But,
But LeChat, she's
Chad
actually one of my favorite artists.
Cold. Yeah, they're cold as fuck.
Yeah.
LeChat, especially her and her brother, you know, the
old. She's got a hard style to her.
Yeah.
She definitely got a hard style, you know.
Rugged.
And that's what I like. I just like that, you know, that hardcore Memphis sound. It just, you know, it just. I just can't, you know, I listen to it every day, man. That's all I can say.
Right, and you went there, you know what I'm saying, and you got the vibe from the city itself, you know what I'm saying. But Minnesota, man, has got a lot of fucking talent too. What are your thoughts on? Of course, you know, we can talk about DMG, but what are your thoughts on Brother Ali, Atmosphere, those lyrical, real lyrical cats they got up there. Did you ever get any of that shit?
Yeah, I've heard some of their stuff before. Yeah, they cool too. I've seen Brother Ali before. There used to be a store up here in Frogtown called Urban Lights, and he was up there one time. And I actually met him one time a while back when that store was open in St. Paul. But the first time I ever recorded a song was in DJ D Mill's studio, the Stereotype Click. I don't know if you ever heard of them. DJ D Mill, he's a DJ, and yeah, he has a studio out here in St. Paul. I recorded one of my first ever verses in his studio. So, yeah, I've kind of touched with a couple of the guys, but. Yeah, you know, there is some lyrical guys. Brother Ali, he's definitely lyrical. And then I know of the Stereotype Click and Atmosphere. So,
yeah,
definitely some talent
up
here that, you know, that people might not know about outside of that region, or this region. So, it ain't just about Prince up here.
Yeah, people seem to think, you know, Prince is the only artist up there. But, no, there's a lot of fucking talent up there, you know what I'm saying? And you yourself, you're talking about the Sippin' Soda Boys. When did that group start, and who did it consist of along with yourself?
We started back in 2005. It was my partner, Ricky J. Me and him were the main members of the group, but then we kind of evolved a little bit between 2005, 2008, 2009. We had Fuquan T, which is Ricky J's son. You know, he later kind of joined in the group, and we formed the Sippin' Soda Click, which consisted of Lil Boo, female rapper, Miss Proper, another female rapper, Alter Ego, Unknown Suspect, Charlie Lee. So we were building, and then after a while, we just kind of took a break from it. Ricky J, he kind of said he retired from the game, but he said he would do a verse for me on my Living Tribunal album. So, I want to kind of reunite, you know, some of the guys that I used to rap with, and the Sippin' Soda Boys, you know, Acura Entertainment. Plus, I want to get, you know, my brothers from UGS, you know, Mac J, gotta get Scratch on that motherfucker for sure. D-Pain, a bunch of y'all on there for y'all that's listening, man. Definitely want to collaborate on this album.
Yeah, man, it sounds like you know what I'm saying, you have a good collaborative effort with people from your whole career, pretty much. you know.
Right.
And that's a good thing
definitely
to have,
wanna
you know, people past and present, you know.
Yeah, definitely want to get Brother Nip on there too, man. I just want to reach out and get a bunch of people on this album, make it a special album.
Yeah.
That's why I think it's kind of taking so long to get it done.
Well, yeah, Brother Nip, definitely. And for those who haven't heard in the past, you know, he did the old KFYB intro.
Which
he produced. You know what I'm saying? That was dope. I remember, putting all that together. Talking about putting that together. You put in a lot of work on that track. What was it like working with Brother Nip?
Oh, man, it was an inspiration for me because I remember listening to him in the 90s when he was with Rap-A-Lot Records, man, and it's just to be able to work with a legend like that, that's just crazy. And for him to, you know, compliment, you know, my music like that and, you know, and then to tell me that, hey, man, your beats are cold. I mean, from the inbox me that, it just makes you want to make music even more, you know, and work with people even more because, you know, they show appreciation. And I'm like, hey, man, I listen to this guy. I know that this guy's a legend to me, and he's commenting on my music. So, you know, that's a special moment, you know, in my life as far as making music, you know, how that goes. So, yeah, that was very special to me. And yeah, I appreciate brothers like you for, connecting all of us like that.
Oh, man, that's the beautiful thing about being in that position is you're able to help bridge a few gaps and make things like that happen. Like, we did a show with Gonzo one time, and I played a song that C-Mob did, and Gonzo loved it, you know what I'm saying? And C-Mob and Gonzo, they ended up collaboration. I love shit like that because it lets me know that what we're doing is important, you know what I'm saying? We're actually...
Oh, yeah.
Serving a purpose in this shit versus a lot of these other motherfuckers in these podcasts and these multimedia sites or whatever. They're not really doing nothing other than feeding off of the trends and the gossips, the
beats.
Oh,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And
I had to check somebody the other day on one of. Oh, my bad, Chris.
No, go ahead.
I was just saying, I had to check someone the other day, and, of course, my comment got deleted because it was one of them websites and, you know, that I keep getting tagged in, some hip-hop, I forgot what it's called, but some website. So I was like, oh, this guy's the realest so-and-so, and I threw your name, and I said, well, there ain't no real real journalist like my man Prez, blah, 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 right? And I tagged the website and everything because I think it was about that Wolf Vicky or whatever. She's a rapper now, supposedly. And this little clown, I think I made a tag about this a couple days ago. I said these clowns that come with this fake humbleness, but then they saturate their timelines with this, oh, I'm the greatest. I'm like, motherfucker, no one knows you. Nobody knows you. And then I threw K. He's like, oh, I'm the lyrical god and this and that. So I threw K. Reno's name. And I said, hey, ain't nobody fucking with K. Reno and T-Rock and their work. And this dude going to be on some, oh, them little this and that and these little niggas and this. I'm like, wait, hold up. First of all, who are you? And second of all, I think I might call him a faggot or something. And then they blocked my comment because he said something corny like, oh, he ain't got until they get a shoe deal or some kind of deal. Holler at me. I'm looking at this dude's page, and he's a nobody he's a nobody from Massachusetts.
Yeah.
So you're from Massachusetts, and you claim you're better than K. Reno and T-Rock.
Well, you know, Skinny. You know what I've noticed, man. You could tell who a real hip hop fan is versus who a fan of trends is the ones that basically compare accomplishments by record sales versus talent. You know, like, oh, they always go to Eminem. Okay. They always go to Eminem. Oh, he sold 50 million records and blah, blah, blah.
Right, right.
But listen to him compared to K. Reno. K. Reno don't sound like a chipmunk. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just
and honestly, what is
crazy people.
Yeah, exactly. And what has Eminem done right now, lately? besides these crazy, you know, people calling his name out or, you know, these little beef songs every now and then. Okay, Reno's dropping albums left or right. T-Rock's dropping albums like crazy.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
People don't know
T-Rock,
that when I throw their
Reno,
names out there like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
These motherfuckers, they just, like I said, they go by, you know, materialism, record sales, streams, you know, they don't look at, you know what I'm saying, the actual talent of the artist. But, you know, let's give them a taste of some talent right now, man. Let's go to one of these dope beats. I got them all queued up right here. We got four of them tonight. I'm going to go with this one first, man. This one's about 3 minutes, 15 seconds. Then we're going to come back and talk about it a little bit. Don't go nowhere.
Or Mr. Mix on there, one of them two, was it Mr. Mix? And he was having a beat tape out. I remembered back then, I was like, man, that'd be something I'd like to do. And
yeah.
I mean, it took this long, but I said, man, it's been a while since, you know, I want to make a beat tape. And like I said, I just took it to the fact that this is my passion, first, making, you know, tracks and stuff, and just bumping y'all out with them, you know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
that's the plan, and I don't want to have any track fillers, so that's the other thing, too, you know. I just wanted to be solid 1 through 30.
Yeah,
so that, you know, brother, that's the plan.
I can definitely see people wanting to, you know what I'm saying, rap off those, too, you know, when that shit drops. People probably use it as demos and things like that, like EC Illa, they had them Killer Beats tapes.
Yeah,
was rapping to that shit. You know, you might have to get on somebody's ass, man, and get that publishing off them. Like, hey, motherfucker, what you doing with this song? You know, you might have a few people out there.
Right.
Who, you know, try to pull
Reloaded,
a fast one on you, but you know, they can run, but they can't hide. But man, this you said 20 to 30 beats going to be on here.
It's
going to be like a straight 74 minutes of bump, like Gangsta Black.
Exactly.
You know,
that's the plan, brother.
Now, when you, you know what I'm saying, when you were coming up as a kid, were you musical? I mean, as far like, did you play any instruments at school? Or, like, where did you develop your talents, man, on the keys, man?
I mean, I played a little bit in junior high, but I think a lot of it really is from just my dad. My dad used to play the drums, you know, back in the day. And I remember he bought me a guitar, like an electric guitar, like when I was younger. Of course, he pawned it later on, but that's a whole other story. But I think actually really it goes back to my pops just, you know, I think we were talking about this the other day. He had a big-ass stereo system, and he was always just playing music, whether it was, you know, some old soul or rap music. I mean, and my daddy used to play drums. I used to try to bang out on them motherfuckers. So I think just really just learning on my own, really. But I didn't really, like, play any instruments per se. I could play a little keyboard, but I'm not no Mozart on it, but you know, I could work something with, you know, with the keyboard, you know, just playing around on it more. A lot of times that's how I make my beats. I just play around on the keyboard, you know, look for that sound. Every now and then I'll go for a sample if I find a sample and just tweak the sample out. And, you know, that's how I do a lot of my beats, you know, tweaking samples out, you know, make my own drum patterns over it. And it's like a puzzle.
So you just go for that sound, and you know once you find it.
Yes, sir. Yep, and that's kind of what I wanted to do with this beat tape, just kind of like do some remixing, you know, of, you know, some of the classic, you know, Memphis chants and or just, you know, two-bar hooks that, you know, were used in, you know, that, oh, hey, I know where that song's from or whatever, but you know, just mix it imperfect with the beats that I'm making. So, that's kind of what I'm gunning for. But, yeah, to tell you the truth, I'm really just having fun with it right now.
Well, that's a good
thing. You know, getting back into the music thing, yeah.
You know, because there's a lot of guys, you know what I'm saying, that, you know, they go through periods, you know, we've all gone through periods of doing things where, you know, you get tired of something or you just ain't feeling it at the moment. You know, like right now, for example, I think Scratch, one of the dudes, you know, he I remember you know, a year or two ago, he was just knocking tracks out left and right. And then he's like,
right,
man, I got to step away for a little bit. I got to take care of some other things. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
But it's always in him. You know, at any given moment, he'd come back and just start ripping tracks like he never left. You know, that kind of similar with
and
you?
And that's what life does. Yeah, exactly, man. I'm glad you brought that brother up because me and him also had a project that we were supposed to be doing, and I think we both just kind of, you just said it there, like what Scratch said, you know, it's kind of the same thing that happened to me. It's like, it's not that I went away with it because I got tired of it. It's just other things came up in life, you know, family issues going on or, you know, or just work consuming you. So by the time when you do have a little free time, it's like, man, I don't really have it in me to make this music right now or record or whatever. And because a lot of it is about time, you know, and right now is like the perfect timing where, hey, I'm going to get back in here for a little bit, make these beats, and then hopefully soon, right after that, you know, focus on my album. Because like you said, it never leaves you. You know, you may leave it, but it never leaves you, so.
And, you know, that's a good thing about it. You know, you can just, you know, because life happens for all of us. You know, things, circumstances, you know what I'm saying? We're all paper chasing, whatever it is. But knowing that you can always pick back up and just start knocking out them beats again, you know, that's a great thing. But another talent you have too, Skinny, is I can come to you and I can be like, you know, D-Tag is the same way. Shout out to D-Tag. But I can be like, yeah, Skinny, I need a beat that sounds like this, and it has to have that element in it, and, you know, like that, and man, you'll just knock it out the park every time, you know what I'm saying? And that's a different approach from you just playing on the keys looking for a sound, you know what I'm saying? So you got talent on all levels, you know? It's a beautiful thing to have. What about like when cats come at you for beats for projects themselves, you know what I'm saying, and they ask you to do something? Have anybody ever asked you to do something that was outside of your comfort zone?
Not really. But I had someone before ask me, oh, can you do a beat that sound like this here? And then they had some little Yachty or something where they wanted me to put all these effects in there. Like, you know, them rises and shit. I said, that's not me. You know, I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, the little rises that they use and the little echoing effect. And it's like, I probably could do it, but that's just not in me. Now, if they're paying me, hey, do whatever you want with it. And I could do my best or whatever. And I had one dude hit me up, said he wanted more of an East Coast beat. And I probably could do it, but I'm not familiar with, you know, the element. Like if someone said, hey, make me a New York beat, you know, or something like that, you know, I'd probably have to study and figure that out. It would take me a little longer. But for the most part, someone asked me something like, hey, can you do this? I'm looking for this element, whether it's dark. Oh, I specialize in that. So that'd be no problem. If they want like a pimpish beat, I could do that. You know, yeah, just whatever someone's looking for the most part, yeah, I think I'm pretty capable of, you know, duplicating what they wanted, you know, what they're looking for or what they're paying for or whatever they're looking for.
Yeah, no doubt, man. And that's what a good producer, you know, does, is able to do. You know what I'm saying? A lot of these guys, man, they you listen to them, you download these beat tapes off Dapiff or something, or whatever, and they sound like shit. You know, it's like they sound like the same commercialized beat that 200,000 other motherfuckers is doing. You know, you stand out from these guys. You have your own style. You know what I'm saying? Did it take you a long time to develop that, or was it something that just came to you right away when you started making beats?
I think it came to me because it almost like even when I was younger, I used to make beats in my this is going to kind of sound weird, but I think this is part of the music gene that's in me, my father, and all that stuff. I used to play beats in my head, and if I hear something in my head, that's kind of what I do. I try to duplicate it as close as I can to that sound, and I think that's how, you know, it's almost like write music, but from the head. Like how some people could just freestyle and do that. That's how I feel I do it with the beats in my head. So it's like, if I think about it, I try the best to duplicate that, you know, on, you know, hard form to where y'all can hear it. So I think it's always kind of been in me, but it's also been from the music I've listened to and the music that I grew up on. And like I said, that Memphis sound just influenced me big time. So what you're going to hear on this album is what you've probably heard from the early and mid-90s with my little twist to it, of course, but it's heavily Memphis-induced and Memphis-influenced.
We got some more. We're gonna let them hear. I'm gonna let them hear these two right now because one's about a minute and 55 seconds. The other one's 2 minutes.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying? Then we're gonna come back, and I'm gonna save the one that I like the best for last because, man, this motherfucker here. Wait till y'all hear that. But you're gonna like these two as well. Don't go nowhere. We got Skinny Man the Man right here. Murder Master Music Show. As a producer, I imagine it's important for you to be able to have that type of range.
Oh, yeah. You don't want your – I mean, you definitely want a sound, and that's definitely what I've always gone for. Like, oh, that's a skinny beat, you know. But at the same time, I don't want every beat to sound the exact same.
Yeah.
You know, and like you said, that's kind of what a producer has to, you know, kind of figure out how to do, you know, over time. It you know, it took some years for me to figure that out, you know, to not make the beat sound the same every time. But you're going to have a sound where, oh, that's a squeaky beat, or that's a zerk beat, you know, and that's kind of what I wanted to do, you know, have your own sound, but at the same time, you want each track or each how many tracks or so to sound different from the other one.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you don't get that in the mainstream. Man, like I told you before, it's like I get sick of hearing these cars drive by with the same fucking beat pattern, the same voice over rappers, and, you know, you get tired of that.
Yeah, you do. You do, man. It's and the same flow, the same cadence, the same everything.
Yeah.
You know,
oh yeah.
And you know what's really bad when you hear an older artist, you know what I'm saying, do it. Like dope fucking artist of the past try to do that now. You know, put some auto tune in it or do that repetitive, redundant fucking cadence and sound, and it's like, man, that's just horrible. You know,
exactly.
I was talking to Yuck Mouth the other night, and, you know, we were talking about new school versus old school and whatnot, and he says, hey, man, they just need to recognize the legends. But then he went on to talking about, but I'm not going to hate on them either, and blah, blah, blah. I didn't even argue with Yuck, man. I was like, all right, cool. You know, but in the past, I'd be like, man, fuck these swaggots, and I still am to a certain degree. It's just that...
Oh, yeah.
I can't. There's too many of them. I could talk till I'm purple in the fucking face, and it's not gonna matter, you know. And it hasn't in the past, but you know, it's getting to
the
point
though
where I think the real shit's coming back around a little bit. You know what I mean? Just a little bit.
Like you. Could,
oh,
you
hey,
could,
we got
like,
we got a surprise caller for you, Skinny. This is this
right.
episode. This is your life. No, this is actually, man, part of the team, part of the fam, man. I'm going to bring him on. What's up, Mac J?
What's going on with it, Chris? What's up with it, Skinny? You know what I'm saying?
What's up, my brother, Pat? Yeah,
man.
Up, man.
Just, hell yeah. You know, I always got to give you props, Skinny, because you gave me beats when nobody would. You know what I'm saying? You helped me be heard as well, man. So I'm glad you're still doing your shit and you got... You coming out with the beat tape because motherfuckers need to know you always got that heat for their motherfucking ass.
Yeah,
oh,
that gangster's a classic.
You know what I'm saying?
Gangster song that you did is a classic.
I always appreciate that shit. You know what I'm saying?
Man,
same with you,
Chris.
Always giving a motherfucker voice in the outlet and shit.
Hell
man,
yeah.
It's an honor because
I appreciate you, Mac Jay.
Yeah. You, you know, like Skinny said, you did that song Gangsta, which was shit, man.
It's my best
song.
Yeah, that motherfucker right there. We need
every
to,
now and then somebody will share it. Somebody will share it again. Chris, we got to shoot the video for that shit or something somehow.
Yeah,
you,
right.
You told me you wanted to do that shit.
Chronicles
of the Lou right there.
It can be done because... a lot of guys now, man, they're going back and shooting some of the videos that they did the songs years ago. So I don't see why not. You know what I'm saying? That's a must.
Hey, Skinny, but I want to ask you, though, you going to submit any of these beats that you making to artists and stuff like that, or are you just making the beat tape just to flex your skills and show motherfuckers what you coming with and shit?
Shit, this is a little teaser to the Living Tribunal, but shit, I'm always open for a campaign. You know, if someone wants some beats, hey, holla. But yeah, this beat tape is kind of like Before the Arrival. That's why I'm going to name it Before the Arrival. Before the Arrival of the Living Tribunal. But yeah, I'm always open for any beats, or if you want me to remake, or, you know, if you like a beat that's on that beat tape, shit, holla at me. I could always re-edit it to where it's a track that you can actually rap on. for you
right.
or
so
anybody
you
that's
out
listening.
Here listening to it. Y'all better get that skinny, man. See, he got that
holler.
Yeah. And it's not like, you know what I'm saying, I remember when Skinny was, you was like throwing beats at motherfuckers. And,
yep.
You know what I'm saying, it's right there, you know, a lot of dope shit. But last year,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying, you had a chance to get on the Fuck the Lamestream project, you know what I'm saying, as a rapper, you know what I'm saying, one of D-Tag's beats. What's it like for you?
Yeah.
You know, saying to rap on somebody else's beat.
Oh, it ain't no thing. You know, I heard the beat. I'm like, oh yeah, this up my alley right here. The beat was perfect for what I was gonna say on there. So,
yeah.
It's always something different, definitely, because like I've always been used to rapping on my own beats. You know, producing my own stuff and having other people rap on with me or producing. So yeah, it's a little different. You know, thing for me, but it's nothing that I can't do. And when I came with that beat, you know, with D-Tag on that beat, I was like, oh yeah, this is right up my element right here, you know. So, but it definitely is an experience, you know, that I'm not used to usually. But yeah, I definitely could rap on other people's beats.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And the sound is kind of what inspired me to like say what I said on that track.
Oh, man, you killed it. Lesbos, swaggots, we'll just call you faggots. Going
yes,
in there.
Yes, sir.
If I would have had you on the phone with Yuck the other night, you probably would have said something. But I think what he was saying, though, is, you know what I'm saying, he's just like, man, just let them do their thing, fuck it, as long as they acknowledge us. You know, they got to acknowledge the guys before them. I mean, that's the right thing to do. That's what everybody else did.
Right.
But the problem is some of them are disrespecting the people that have been before them.
Exactly. See?
That's
why I can't all the way go into what
Yuck
is saying. Yeah, because people,
Tupac,
they got to.
Ain't this. And two, you know, it's just crazy shit
that
he's saying.
And it don't even matter. Like, it's almost to the point where if you don't know the history of the music or you ain't even trying to learn it, why comment on it? Just keep doing your shit if that's what you want to do. Change the game for real.
Yeah.
But these guys want to piggyback off of, basically they piggybacking off of what people laid out there before them, and they ain't paying no homage to it. And we've been saying that shit since practically day one, like pay homage to the motherfuckers before you and the guys that's still doing it on a real level, because there's still some great underground cats out here bumping that ain't doing none of that other shit. And they won't get the light of day because they that way.
There's a lot of
people. That's what's fucked up
about people's careers. Yeah, and some of these people's careers are only surviving because of beats. Like, come on, man.
Exactly.
Everybody's going goo goo gaga over this Nick Cannon and MGK and Eminem.
Man,
like, come on now.
Man,
crazy.
That's why when I go on Facebook, I be in and out because it's just too much dumb shit. Like, you can't even get on there to really share the shit you really want to share or see shit that you didn't know about without all this other dumb shit in the way.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
If it ain't people fighting over, if it ain't people fighting over Popeye's chicken, it's crazy, silly ass rap.
Sandwiches ain't even good like that, man.
people are fighting over shit that doesn't even fucking matter. I mean,
and that's the top story on Facebook. Like Mac J said, like I'm in and out pretty much nowadays.
Yeah, I be in and out that motherfucker. Nah, man, I try to share some shit.
Yeah. I know
some jokes at a few friends, and then I'm gone, man. Because you got the political analyst. And then one time I got blocked from an old live that I did. Like they was like, you can't go live for 3 days, and I was like, why? I ain't even been live in like months. And then
I got asked about it.
It was from a live that hopped up in my memories and shit. Somebody reported.
Yeah, that's what mine did. I posted a picture in 2012 of a fat guy sitting on a bus who looked like Hitler, and I made a comment
on that.
and they blocked me for 3 days for a 2012 comment. Yeah.
I tried to share I tried to share one of D-Tag's gangster nip posts earlier today, and it says it went against my community spam standards.
Yeah, the community standards and shit.
Yeah, I took like a 5-day hiatus recently, man. It was a fucking bliss experience. No Facebook, no social media. I was just like, man, this is, because it is. It's become like a regurgitated news broadcast. You know, you almost felt cleansed,
didn't you, Perez?
Say what? What, Skinny?
You almost felt cleansed, like clean after.
Oh yeah.
Hell yeah!
Almost a rebirth right there, man.
That's how
about
I was drawing the
700 club.
Yeah, well, my
that's
phone
the only
was fucked up. I didn't have a phone for like 3 days, about a month ago. I told you that shit, Perez. My phone was all fucked up and shit, and I felt lost that first day, but by the second and third day, it was like, I got way more shit done when I ain't had that phone. I'll tell you that. I got way more shit done.
You ain't lying.
Oh, yeah.
You ain't lying, man.
It's definitely.
I couldn't do shit.
Problem.
I couldn't see nothing. I couldn't check on nothing. That first day, I was like, I felt like I was missing out on something. I wasn't missing out on shit. I freed up time to do other shit. And so with that happening, I just try to stay off the shit. Is, you know what I'm saying? If that idle time is where it gets you at.
You came down with a case of FOMO, fear of missing out.
Yep.
That's an actual
I had the fear of missing out.
They have that.
Is that a real?
For
I can get a medical card with that.
I don't know if you can get a medical card, but yeah, man.
It's the anxiety of missing out on something.
Yeah, they get depressed if they miss out on a post or something. Or, man, I'm just like, fuck it, I'll shut it down for a week. I don't give a fuck.
Yep. No, I was more or less.
Someone to call me, you know.
Like, I was more or less like just panicking because people was texting me and calling, and I couldn't catch the calls because, like, my screen had blacked out. So if I swipe at the right spot, I might be able to catch it, but sometimes I wasn't able to catch it. So that's what I was missing out. I'm like, I'm thinking somebody texts me with some important information or somebody trying to call me. They think I'm bullshit or something.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, like, Facebook, I was cool. Instagram, I get on Instagram, but shit, Instagram just pictures and videos mostly.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't got a whole lot of everybody just posting shit like that. I scroll by real quick. If I got to read some shit, I ain't fucking with you on Instagram.
Yeah,
Instagram like the new age of a virtual Playboy magazine, basically. It ain't nothing but
yeah.
It ain't nothing but bitches on there shaking that ass. But
I've been on Facebook now for 10 years. I can't believe it's been 10 years.
Yeah,
like,
10 years,
fuck?
Man.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's about
been
how
on
long
Facebook
I've been
longer
on
than some of these kids been alive.
These kids were raised on this Facebook shit. It's social media. Their whole generation, man, is a fucking meme. You know?
Yeah, for real.
No reality at all, man. You know, but the good side to it is, you know, I was talking to Yuck, you know, it's a great way to promote your music. You know what I'm saying? If you're an artist, it's a great way to, you know, get your stuff out there, be seen, versus back in the day, you either had to fucking mail packages out or you had to just get out in the street and stand over fist.
Or, you know, like, if you weren't in the city of that person, you almost had to be in the city of that person to get the advantage of fucking with somebody. So if you lived in middle America like we did, Perez, you know what I'm saying? Like, you couldn't get heard like you can now with social media. Like, fuck, I wouldn't know either one of y'all if it wasn't for social media. Pretty much.
Yeah. Ain't that crazy?
Brother Matthew, rest in peace.
Yeah.
You know, man, that's a good, of all the downsides of social media, the few good sides to it is shit like that. You know?
Yeah, the connection. The connection you can make. And like D-Tag, he way on the other side of the country, of the world.
Hell yeah.
And we able to make music on, you know, on beats that he produced. You know what I'm saying? That's beautiful.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's a fact.
Well, you notice the stock in rap, too, is you know, from back in the day, I mean, you had to pay hundreds of dollars. You had to get studio time. You had to, you know, where now, and just send me the track. You know, I'll do my thing to it, and I'll send it back to you. Yeah. And, you know, is that, you know, with this, you know, I know in the past, too, you talked about doing a project. You know what I'm saying? Is that what the Living Tribunal is going to be, kind of like a like your version of the Chronic, so to speak?
Yeah, right now it's sounding like a detox, but, you know, because it ain't out yet. But, yeah, pretty much that's why I want. Yeah, I want it to be classical like the Chronic, you know. I mean, I want it to be a special album. Where I want, I want y'all to be a part
of it. But you're
going to
be rapping
so,
on it too, though, right?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Yeah, that, no, yeah, that's definitely is my solo album, but, you know, I want a bunch of features, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, there's going to be definitely some songs where I'm showcasing, you know, myself, but I definitely want a lot of features on there. So, yeah, kind of, you know, kind of like the Chronic. It's a Dre album, but he had a lot of features on there. So,
yeah, a lot of components.
Showcase a lot of different artists, yeah.
Yeah, and you ain't got, and you ain't gonna hear not one mumble mouth rapper on here. You ain't gonna hear nothing.
Yeah,
all y'all talent.
None of that mumble
y'all
shit.
Talent.
Yeah, I feel you, Skinny.
Yep.
You know, I don't because I heard what y'all were saying earlier, right before I got on, and y'all was talking about like, when you were saying how Young Mouth said, "Well, you know, you just kind of let these dudes do what they do in prayers." You was like, "Man, shit, you just had to kind of lay back." Like, I want to, I can tell you really wanted to say something, but. You know what I'm saying? Okay, I feel you where you're coming from, but I'm still the same way, too, when it comes to that. Like, I ain't hating on these dudes, but I know I got the choice not to listen to that dumb shit. You know what I'm saying? And
I'm not
ashamed to let motherfuckers know that I don't fuck with it, so I'm not going to just be acting like I'm down with this song because everybody likes it. No, if I don't like the motherfucker, I don't like it. You see what I'm saying? I'm content with that because if somebody come to me and say why you don't like it or what you like better than that, I know it's some shit I can go to, whether it be old shit or new shit from an older motherfucker sometimes. But it ain't too many. The newest motherfuckers I done heard that I like is that's probably finna be on a major level is them dudes out of Buffalo, the Griselda Records or whatever, Benny the Butcher and all them. Because they rapping like some old-school New York grimy shit, but it ain't no auto-tunes. It's more boom-bap than anything, but it's East Coast flavor, though. So I can get into them,
like
but, yeah, they might be trying to Rock Nation and shit. Yeah, but they'll probably never get as big as a Young Thug or no shit like that because they not finna wear skinny jeans and they not finna do none of that shit.
Right.
They just gonna rap hard and tell tales from Buffalo. Yeah, they're not going to do none of that shit. Now, they might have their flossy songs because that's what the rap game is. You know, they're going to have their jewels and shit like that. But the shit they rapping is the street shit. And they are younger. They from the younger generation. And I feel like they want to stomp out a lot of this shit. But they need more than just pockets. It need to be more on the mass for us to stomp it out.
Yeah.
Can't just be a few sections. Everybody got to get tired of hearing this shit.
Yeah.
No, you're right. You're right. Sebo's going on tour. He's got a campaign tour. It's called Make America Gangster Again, and he's doing
sir.
30 or 40 dates coming up. So you know Sebo's gonna do it. You know Spice One. He's gonna be putting his foot on his throat. But yeah, man, those guys though in the you know the world of the fucking. The fucking award shows and all that shit. That's not even in my world, man. I just learned
to
block that out. If I can,
you
know what I'm saying, throw some salt on it here and there, I'm definitely going to do it. I mean, I put a fucking album out saying fuck them. And, you know, I might do a part two to that someday. Because I still want to see them put more attention on K. Reno dropping 7 albums. Then little fucking Xanax removing his braces.
Exactly.
Who gives a fuck if he cut his goddamn
braces?
And then
new K. Reno album go hard in the motherfucker too. I heard a few of the songs on YouTube and shit.
Oh, Mind Vision,
K never ceased to amaze me, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just like, damn, the dude ain't gonna fall off, man. You know what I'm saying? Like,
oh,
you think he just said it all, but he still got more to say. That's what makes him so dope.
That's one guy I'd love to see on your beat, Skinny K. Reno. Who are some of the other guys you'd like to see on your production?
Oh, I would love to see a K. Reno on there, or a T-Rock, or, man, those two definitely. Spice One, I would love to hear him on one of my tracks. Shit, Bolo, too.
Yeah,
those be like four right there. Spice, Sebo, T-Rock, K. Reno.
Yep, and I can hear all of them on some of your tracks, too.
Yeah.
I can even hear like a Mr. Ski or somebody like that on some of your shit, too, because I know you fuck with them.
That too.
Like,
A
gang of the Memphis cats. They'll roll your shit.
Mr. Grimm.
Yep. I know Tiny Mind, shout out to Tiny Mind. He liked a lot of my videos in the past.
Him and Dirk got a new podcast. I'm glad you mentioned it. I think it's called the Icon Academy. The shit's pretty dope.
Yeah.
Add on there.
We'll have to check that out.
Yeah. They got some good stuff, man. Memphis is always going to be one of those spots, man. You got to document their history because no one else is doing it. All you hear about is 3-6 Mafia. You don't hear about DJ Dirk. You know, Squeaky.
And that's again why I give you so much props, because you've done that. Even way back in the Murder Dog days. But, yeah, you're doing it. So I appreciate you for
that.
I mean, no one else is doing that.
Exactly.
I always love Memphis. I always love the sound of Memphis. I mean, of course, I love the Bay Area and, you know, different spots. But Memphis always had that real dark, grimy sound, you know.
It's cool because, like, I know Mac J, he lived down there, or, you know, been down there from time to time. And I know St. Louis has probably got touches of Memphis, but up here in Minnesota, sometimes I feel like I'm the only one that be really deep into the Memphis sound.
Right.
Like when I be playing something, and who is that? Who's that?
That's how it was when I first moved here.
97. Yeah.
Yep. Well, and I moved here in 97.
Yeah.
That's crazy that you said that. When I first came here in 97, like, you know, everybody knew who A-Ball and MJG was. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Tila and them came out, but they hadn't heard of the Gangsta Pat. I'm like, how you know who 8-Ball is and you don't know who Gangsta Pat is? You know what I'm saying?
And then you have to realize
it's a regional thing, but once people start traveling more and doing shows and shit, now, like you just said, Skinny, Memphis and St. Louis go hand in hand because it's only a 4-hour ride away. Same way with Chicago.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I still think D.A. Smart and them, they don't get enough credit for the shit that they did. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, DC, Illa, and all of them. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, they get no credit
and
at
this
all.
It's just like, you know, people like Yo Gotti. It's like people, they know who he is now. I'm like, man, I was listening to Yo Gotti when I was Lil Yo when he was a kid.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying?
Y'all just now discovering Young Dolph. You know, it's just, you know, that's what I be telling these people up here. I'm like, you just now knowing who Young Dolph is? You know, people like that.
I still remember when Prez interviewed Squeaky, when we had Squeaky on the show that time.
Yep.
And remember,
yep,
he was telling us
that.
About Young Dolph at that time.
Yeah.
It's way before Dolph blew up and did all this shit. And he was like, I think, Prez, you asked him, who you producing or what you working on now? And he was like, I'm working with this young dude named Dolph out of South Memphis. This and that. See, Jeopardy J, again, you can go in the archives and check that shit if you think I'm fucking lying for the listeners. But, you know, he said that shit, and it was like nobody was interviewing Squeaky. You know what I'm saying?
Nope.
The press had the vision to do that shit. Like, hey, these dudes still making music, and they still relevant to the game that's going on right now, because some of these guys still breaking artists. They still got studios. They still willing to work with people.
Yep.
So.
And you got to, you know, give them the flowers while they're here. Because so many of these guys are dropping like fucking flies, man. You know?
Yeah.
The older, I noticed, man, once these guys get into the 50s, they seem to be going real fast. And it's a shame.
Yeah.
You know?
We got to all get back in shape. That's a definite thing.
Oh man, yeah. I've been working on it, man. I'm getting there slowly but surely, but it's a struggle, you know.
Yeah.
The older you get, you know. But we're in our fucking prime though, man. You know,
right,
we ain't over the hill yet.
I didn't gain the most weight I've ever gained in the last year and a half. I'm like, I got to get back to moving around and shit, man, because switching. I think it was just my job that kept my weight down, though, the job that I used to have, you know what I'm saying? Because I was moving at that motherfucker. But now where I'm
around,
and now I don't move around as much, and it's at night. So it's like I get home late at night, and I start eating late at night and shit.
Yeah.
Motherfuckers got edibles and shit now. And came home, and it's like 3 in the morning. I'm frying chicken and shit. The shit is ridiculous. Everybody sleep like that. That's the only downside to working like that mid shift 2 to 10s and shit. Because when you at work, everybody doing shit, and when you get off, everybody sleep for the night.
Wrapping
you know what I'm saying?
Yep. Man, you ain't lying.
He'd be like, I just wrapped one up. I'm like, damn, I can't never catch one of these motherfuckers. But I will though, and I'm glad I was able to catch this one. If it was
one show that I had to hop on
at the start of the year, it was going to be for Skinny, man, because I really appreciate you, bro. You know what I'm saying? You're like a brother to me, man. I always fuck with you, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, y'all both my brothers, man. Fuck with both y'all.
Real talk.
Appreciate
that. We've been knowing each other since about, what, 2011, 2010, something like that?
Yeah, 2011, yeah.
I'm glad we all still here, man. I hope 2020 is good to all of us.
Yeah, I still remember. I always give shout out to brother TNT, Rio TNT. I think he's the one that really linked us, and he told me, "Man, call up the show. Call up. Perez wants you to call up." I remember that like yesterday, and y'all was on there.
Shout out to TNT, man. That's a good dude. He's from Hattiesburg, Mississippi. He did that dope project. And he was on the first
TNT
compilation too, man.
Yeah,
good dude right there. He definitely talented. He met the Gator Boys too. I remember years back. I guess they ran into each other down there, in Mississippi somewhere.
Oh, did they?
And,
all right.
You know, but man, Skinny, I want to thank you for chopping it up with me tonight, man. It was good to have you come back on the show. Same with you, Mac. I'm glad you called in, brother.
Hell yeah!
I'm glad you called it, Matt.
I think you showcased
my album here, man. I appreciate that.
Yeah, man. This is a project. You know what I'm saying? It's coming out in March. You know what I'm saying? I want you guys to support it, and then of course the Living Tribunal as well. We're gonna go to this last track. This is a fucking anthem right here. But before we do, Skitty, I want to give you the floor. Cats want to get you for beats or whatnot, or just let them know, man. Anything, man. It's all yours.
Yeah, if you need any production or want to hit me up on, need me on a feature or you need a beat from me, you can hit me up on my Facebook page. You know, for those that know, you can hit me up on Facebook. You can also hit me at the email at skinnymane, SKINNYMAINE 76.sdm@gmail.com. That's probably the best way to contact me if you want to do some business as far as, getting beats or want to do a compilation or, a feature, have me feature on your shit. You know what I'm talking about? I'm willing to do anything, So that's how you can get a hold of me.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. And, everybody in UGS, get at Skinny for your next projects. So you put something out. Man, get at them.
Yeah, and UGS, we family, so I got you. Just hit me up. Shit, if you really, really, really down with UGS, like these two brothers on the phone or Scratch or any of y'all, just hit me up. Shit.
Hell yeah. It'd
be nothing.
Most definitely. This beat right here, man. This is gonna if you rap, if you rhyme, if you listen to this right now, you're gonna be spitting some fire because this is an anthem right here, man. Get this beat tape coming out in March. Support it. You know what I'm saying? Keep fucking with us. UGSforlife.com. You know what I'm saying? We'll be at you real soon. Murder Mass Music Show. We out.
live tonight. Yeah.